All right. Always a little bittersweet if you're not winning the Super Bowl. That's how this thing works out. We weren't able to advance to that next level, but I'm proud of the team and the effort that they put forward, even to be put in this position to be able to play against New England. New England did a better job. They, my hat's off to them. Wish them the best of luck the remaining part of the postseason here. So, good football team. Again, you know, there's some things that we did well in this game. There's some things we can continue to work on. We'll be a better team in the future for this. It's a, like I said, a good learning experience to understand the intensity level and the magnitude of a game once you reach that second round of the playoffs. Things go up a notch, in particular when you're playing against the reigning Super Bowl champs. We've got an off season here that we've got to handle, which is takes place every year. We've got some free agents that we'll be going to the off season with that we'll know more in the future on. Time will tell on that. We've got a draft coming up that we've got to get ready for, and we'll do that. We'll take a little deep breath here for a little bit, and then get ourselves back and ready to roll as a staff and as players. And but with that, again, I'm proud of the effort. We just didn't do well enough, and I take full responsibility for that. Time's yours.
Andy, after the game last night, you had a night to sleep on it. There's been a lot of clock names and questions out there.
Sure.
Go back and study those things since there's no next week, or just what are your thoughts about those last couple of minutes?
No, I could tell the Philly media was up in the booth. And I know Adam. I saw Adam's his article. So the thinking behind it was at 2:20 there we had an opportunity to get a play in and run a play. We thought it was a good play and an opportunity to possibly score. And so now you're sitting at the 2-minute warning with a touchdown opportunity to kick an onside kick and give yourself plenty of room. We work those situations all the time. So we wanted to maintain our timeouts the best we could. We didn't want to give the ball back to at any point back to New England after we go ahead and score that next touchdown. As it was said and done, I mean, we had a penalty involved there, so it wasn't a perfect world. Didn't work out quite the way we wanted it. So it took a couple shots to get it in. We still had a minute 15, minute 13 right in there that we potentially would have had three timeouts and an opportunity to drive the field, which I thought was huge, put us in a perfect position to do that. We work again on that every week. And so I thought that part was handled right. Actually, when Adam asked the question, I thought he was talking about the timeouts in the first half. That's what I thought he was referring to. The one play that with the 2:20 on the clock, we didn't get a run. I mean, that was the bottom line. We needed to be able to get that done. And there are things that go into that. I think Alex probably explained it the best. We had 89 plays on tape, 89 plays, 83 official plays. And listen, we were a bit tired at that point, and so I was able to, I put the big fellas in, and we didn't get that playoff.
Do you not have two plays called at once? You're at the one, and you called up the run to West, which is a high percentage play. He got stepped short though, and that's where the 30 seconds evaporate. Do you not have a second?
Yeah, we had another.
Did he get stopped?
Yeah, we had another play.
We
didn't get it off. Yeah, so that was kind of where the problem came in, but. Those things happen. We still, when it was all said and done, we were still in a position to where we had plenty of clock to take care of business, and that's the bottom line. I mean, that's I thought that part was executed fairly well.
Even after the Avant tackle, we got tackled short.
Yeah, I still think we were fine.
To without having to huddle up.
So when you're down there at the plus five, Randy. You want to give them you want to score. That's what you want to do. It's easy to say, why not have another play called? We had another play, absolutely, but you want to give it your best shot, your best plays down in there. Not necessarily a 2-minute play, but your best play that you've got on the game plan sheet. You got to get that one score. You have anywhere from a minute on, and after an onside, you got time to execute and win the game, or at least tie the game in that situation. So it wasn't that, but you better give them your best shot down in there. You know, I can't tell you that the, you know, stepping back there with the penalty that hurt a little bit, but still, all said and done, we gave it our best shots, and we were able to score. We still had plenty of time on the clock, and that we felt, and we were ready to roll.
Did it change at all? Like, let's say this is a hypothetical. I know you guys love hypothetical questions, but let's say Wilson scores at 250 or something like that. If you score before the 2 minute warning, you still have three timeouts. Do you kick it deep, or do you onside kick? Where is that threshold for you on when you feel like you have to onside kick it?
Well, yeah. Again, it depends on who you're playing and how they're moving the football. The one thing you got to keep in consideration is you do not want to give the ball back, and then you want to be able to get the ball back. So if you don't think you're going to get the ball back, then you use your onside kick and you go with it. So and that's an evaluation you have to make on the field. Now they were doing some pretty good things offensively at that time. So but those are considerations that you take in there. But listen, I didn't think that the thing that bothered me the most was the timeouts early in the game, and I mean that clock was moving fast, baby. So we need to do a little bit better job there. But
did you guys have any communication issues, headsets or anything like that throughout the game?
Just a little bit from coach to quarterback. The coach to quarterback headset was cutting in and out just a little bit, not much. So it wasn't bad, but a couple of those were.
The late ones or the first half ones?
The first half, yeah. First half, yeah. There are a couple of those.
Coach, on the subject of free agents, how soon do you anticipate getting with John Dorsey on some of these guys? Or is this, like you said, you're going to take a deep breath, or is this something you're going to...
Yeah, Dorsey's already on. He gets on top of all that stuff, and we'll talk here after we do the player evaluations and all that, but you know, he's got a pretty good feel on all of that and how that rolls right there. So, you know...
Pending announcement, can you reflect on what Doug Peterson has meant to you as an assistant?
Yeah, you know what, I still have to talk to him about the whole thing, but he's been very good for me as an assistant, yes.
Can you expand on that? What has made him so good? What has made him so valuable as an assistant?
Yeah, well, he's been with me a long time now, right? So he's been with me as a player when he was a player. I had an opportunity to coach him there, and then I, as an assistant coach, and then as a head coach, brought him to Philadelphia, and then brought him back as a quality control coach, so a young coach, and just kind of learning the game there, from the coaching side, and then watched him grow, so, and develop into what he is now with a. You know, potential opportunity to be a head football coach. I mean, how great is that? Yeah. So.
Do you expect him to take some of your people and make them coordinators in Philly?
I don't think so. We've all kind of had a starting back with Mike Holmgren and Mike Holmgren with Bill Walsh. You always kind of check with the head coach on those things, and normally what you want to do is just start take your own guys and go. Build a program. There weren't, you know, that's kind of how you roll. You know, it was a little different in my situation coming here because we were all released, you know, so, but if the staff is intact, normally you talk with the head coach and we'll do all that, but I don't foresee that, you know, I don't foresee a lot of guys leaving to do that. Yeah. So.
In general, I mean, not specifically about anyone who's an unrestricted free agent, we've got some big name, big contributors who are unrestricted free agents. How does this measure up in other off seasons you've had recently on what you've got to do with your guys, not necessarily the guys who may be somewhere else in the league? You know, is this more big time contributors than you've had in a lot of years?
Well, listen, I've probably seen it all somewhere in here, so I can't tell you. I look at the list and it completely shocks me. That's not where I'm at with it, and I know. You know, some of these guys are going to return. I mean, that's how it rolls. Which ones and how it works into the cap and all that—that's Dorsey's. That's Dorsey's baby there. So, I wouldn't say that it just jumps out at me as, whoa, I've never seen this before. Yeah.
On that same vein, Coach, I mean, obviously, a lot, as you just mentioned, a lot does go into the thought process of bringing in or guys you decide you want to keep. How do you go about prioritizing that, like, for a guy like potentially Eric Berry? Is he up at the top of the list? Is this something you say to jump?
Yeah, I don't want to get into ranking the guys. I mean, that's not how – but you can figure all that out. I mean, he's a good football player. So, but they've got to work all that out. And I think he wants to be here, and we probably want him to be here, and all that. I mean, but that's all. Say right now, the agents and our people need to get with him, and they deal all that and work through all that stuff. So, and I think it's probably premature here. Do I like Eric Berry? I can tell you, I love Eric Berry. I can tell you that. Right.
You miss that side of it, or you like just being the head coach now?
I like being the head coach.
Would it be safe to say that your new offensive coordinator is already in the building?
Yeah, I would probably say that. Yeah.
And with the play clock, is there ever a point when you instruct a quarterback just go ahead and take the 5-yard penalty instead of wasting a timeout?
Yeah, there are times, when you do that. Again, I thought the situation we were in, I thought we were handling that the right way. We were on top of it. We had the plays. We knew what we wanted. We came up a little short on the one. The bottom line is that we can't forget we scored and we had time to go score again and not give them the ball back. And that was there were some great things that took place up there to get us into that position to do.
A couple more guys.
When you look back at this team, what do you think you're going to remember most about this group of players that played in 15?
Yeah, I think that they were tough, resilient fighters. We had guys that were playing that people probably didn't think could play and contributed big. And so I'm proud of those guys and the job that they did. So I think you saw Alex step to the front and say, hey, listen, whatever he was as a game manager, I think you say he's a game changer. He's 30 years old, and I think everybody can feel pretty good about saying that. So, and he did that. I mean, you talk about the last drive. I mean, think of the runs that he did, the hits that he took out of bounds that had an opportunity to add a little yardage onto the play here and there. So, and got back up and kept fighting. And so,
be surprised you didn't get as much out of Justin Houston as yesterday going into the game.
Yeah, I think.
Do you think he was going to get?
Yeah, this is what I thought Justin was able to do. I thought he could hold the point okay, but being able to push off and run with speed, he was going to struggle with that a little bit. So, when it was all said and done, we probably got just what we thought we would out of him right there.
EJ, last question?
Yeah, just for the fans that now have the entire offseason, I think, just what message do you have for them as far as where you guys are going, how confident you are that you'll get back to this point?
Yeah, so every year is different. I got it, and I'll be the first to tell you that. Every team is different, but you build foundations, and so and that's where you got to start. And the foundation of this team is just what that question was. There's some toughness, resiliency there. There's some things that they know they can overcome when their back's to the wall. We got the best fans in the National Football League, man. And so you work like crazy to bring as many games as you can right in here to Arrowhead and let that 12th man be a part of that, right? So, and that's our fans. And our players believe in that. So I think that that's something that our fans have to look forward to. I think that's a positive. There's a foundation being built. Every year is different. There's a foundation being built, and good things lie ahead.
Yeah, just to follow that. Just home field advantage. If I know there's a lot of
We missed you, doggone it. <Randy.
laughs> If that Denver game here or the Chicago game here, then you're off last week, and you're the home team.
That's right. I mean, that's right. As many games as you can bring to Arrowhead.
So my point is home field advantage.
That's not a bad thing. That bye week's not a bad thing. Look at the players that got to play yesterday for the Patriots, the Gronkowskis and Edelmans. And I mean, these were guys that contributed big in that game. It gave Tom kind of back his full bunch, the couple of guys on the defensive side that were able to play. I mean, that's big. And so if you want to shoot for that and you want to stay and keep yourself in position right from the beginning of the year, and that's got to drive you. That's the feel. I talked to players on the plane coming back individually, and you know, they understand that. So,
all right, thank you.